We're going to look into the Gospel of John. We've been in the book of the Revelation for some time. But this morning, I'd like for us to turn to the Gospel of John today as we think about Thanksgiving and we think about this special time of the year that we call Thanksgiving, a time of pausing to thank God for His goodness to us. It's more than just a season. Actually, it should be a lifestyle, giving thanks to God each and every day. But I'd like for us to look this morning into the Gospel of John today, and I'm in John chapter number 5 today. I want us to consider some things as we think about true thanksgiving. In John chapter 5, and then we'll look at another passage of Scripture in just a moment over in the book of Acts. But the Lord has certainly blessed us, and we thank the Lord for His goodness. As I said, sometimes we need to pause. Oftentimes God allows things to come into our life, cross our path, that causes us to stop. And if we're not careful, we don't begin by giving thanks to God, but after the fact of maybe being brought to a standstill and praying to God and seeking God's face sometimes for a period of time, then we realize how blessed we are of the Lord. And I want us to think about that today. You know, even the song we just saying about marching to Zion and Zion's hill. You and I one day will be in heaven. We'll be with the Lord throughout all eternity. Prior to that, though, we're going to Zion. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to the Mount of God for 1,000 years. As a believer, being born again, we will be with the Lord here on this earth for this millennial reign of Christ. And we'll be able to see the worship of God there as it should have been with His people. But the only reason why we can't rejoice as we think about that today. Think about, we have a mind that God has given us where that we can bring to mind things that we can contemplate, things that you and I can dwell on. And what keeps us from not thinking about the good things of God? You know, we make a choice. You made a choice to be here today, and I'm thankful that you're here. We make choices, but we choose oftentimes, we choose to contemplate the things that we want to. We want to think about something, we allow it to enter our mind, and we sit there and sometimes meditate on it. And I'd like for us to see that meditation to God and things of God here today, that in the Scripture, how important it is to give thanks to God. In John chapter 5, it's a kind of a sort of very familiar story, but I'm looking at it kind of maybe from a different angle today. We pick up in verse number 1 of John chapter 5. It's about the impotent man being healed. In verse 1 it says, "After this, there was a great feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they, What man is this that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. And he said, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, what we find in this scripture, of course, is the impotent man being healed. You know the story. He's been there 38 years. Every season the angel comes down and stirs the water. And whoever gets into the pool first, or maybe what few get into the pool first, are healed or have been healed. And this man's been there 38 years. Doing the math, that was a few years B.C. He's been there before Christ was even born. Christ's ministry started at the age of 30 for Christ in the human body. He's eternal. His ministry's been forever. But this man's been there 38 years. Christ comes along and he speaks a word to the man, and the man's made whole. And of course, the scripture says Christ conveyed himself away because there's a large number of people there at the sheep gate. This is where they brought the sheep in to be washed, to be taken for sacrifices. A lot of people, a lot going on. We don't know what day, what hour the water may be stirred, and anybody in need would have been there. This man was. He was waiting to be healed. And now he's made whole. And we find that Jesus conveys himself away, and then he comes back to this man, and he says to the man, not to sin again, not to sin anymore. Don't do that. Don't continue to be in sin, is what he's saying. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, we know that he's a sinner. We're all sinners. He's made whole. He's had an encounter with the Lord, in which most people will be thankful for that, to be made whole. He's been crippled for 38 years. But does he know the Lord spiritually? See, that's the question. Jesus comes back and speaks to him about spiritual matters. Go and sin no more. See, it's one thing to take the blessings of God and not know the Lord. You think with me just a moment. How many people in this world today are blessed because of the things of God, but they don't know the Lord? There's a difference in being a born-again believer and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ than just knowing about him or about God or praying to God. I pray that God will do this for me. I hope he'll do this. I hope he'll answer my prayer. And my question is, and I'm not being facetious, but why should he answer the prayer of a person who isn't his child? Will God answer? Only God knows. I think God does answer prayers. I think God answers prayers for those many times. And in a sense of him answering prayer, he works or brings them to himself. God has a way of working. The Spirit draws. But in this particular case, this man, he didn't know exactly who it was. He didn't know what he was saying, but then the Lord said, and he went on to say to those that questioned him about the Sabbath as to who this man was, the man departed, it said, in verse 15, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. He knew when Christ confronted him about his sin who he was. And think with me just a moment, that's what happens in a personal encounter with the Lord. We are confronted with who we are, with who he is, and then we make a choice. We make a choice to say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, and from that, of course, there's blessings to go along with what God is doing. And I want us to think about this, true thanksgiving. What does it mean to give thanks to God? That's another story. We'll turn there, if you'd like, into the book of Acts now. As we turn to the book of Acts, another healing takes place, this time by Peter and John in Acts chapter number 3. These are the disciples of the Lord who had been with the Lord in his ministry for those 3+ years. And of course, they had trusted the Lord. They had seen the risen Savior. They were given the Holy Spirit to share with others who Jesus Christ is. And we pick up in chapter 3. Peter and John, they're going to the temple together. They're going there. By the way, someone might ask, well, why would they go to the temple? Well, at the temple, the Jews were required to come for prayer in the afternoon, certain hours, and Peter and John would go there during the prayer time. What were they doing? Were they going to participate in the Jewish rituals? No, they were going there to share Jesus Christ with those who might be at the temple. So we pick up in Acts chapter 3 with this story. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. He was leaping up, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now this is a different story. It's a different healing. This time they say they don't have anything to give him. Of course, he's asking alms, can you help me anyway? They say, no, but Jesus can. I paraphrase this, Jesus can. And Jesus did. He fixed their eyes on them, and of course they responded to what they told them to do. And of course, from that, there's healing. There's more than just physical healing. There's spiritual healing. This man stands up on his feet. He's leaping. He's praising God. And the people in the temple see that. So you've got two different encounters, two different, if you would, responses to how they received what they did from, of course, the work of the Lord. Now, the thanksgiving of the lame person, of course, he's leaping and shouting. I could only imagine having been there and didn't say how long, but the matter of the fact was he was helpless. And now he's praising the Lord. And we think about that, what and how God had answered, of course, their prayers. He had given them what they stood in need of. And this is the way the Lord works. He works in and through people, and he works through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share some other thoughts with you in just a moment. In this true thanksgiving that we're talking about, it can only be given, as this man did, when one knows the Lord in a personal way. It's different than someone saying, well, thank you for what you've done. That was a kind gesture. It was a kind act. But what about when the Lord is in it and what God is able to do? Folks, I tell you, as I think about Thanksgiving, I can't thank the Lord enough for being saved today. Think about your salvation. There's nothing that we can do to earn favor with God. There's nothing that you and I can do to merit favor. There's nothing that we can do that we deserve anything. But in his grace and by his mercy, he saved you and me. And he wants to save the world. It's not, God is not, he's for whosoever will. The Lord is in the business of bringing people to his son, Jesus Christ, and this is what he wants. He wants people to know him in a personal way. Now, with that, having said that, when we come to know the Lord, does that mean that you and I are always going to be thankful for the things that God does for us? I want us to go with this thought in mind and turn to, if you like, to Philippians. I'm in Philippians chapter number 4 now, and I'm going to share some thoughts with you here. Having said that, praise only being given by those who really know the Lord, and then the thanksgiving, and then the thanksgiving, a giving of thanks of worth to the Lord. As we look in Philippians chapter number 4, Paul is writing to the believers in Philippi. And he's at one place he speaks about Timothy. I'll say a little bit about that in just a moment. But he tells us in Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Now, this is for the believer. He's writing to the believer. He's writing to you and to me. We're not to be anxious for anything. That word careful is translated anxious from the Greek. Worry. We're not to worry about anything. And he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Think with me. We talk about praying to God. I wonder about the person that was at the pool when Jesus came by. Had he been praying to God? I wonder about the person there at the gate when Peter and John came by. Had he been praying to God? Had he been talking to God? Well, you know, that's something that oftentimes you hear most everyone say, "Well, I've been praying about this." We know how to pray. We know what prayer is. What is prayer? Well, prayer is talking to God. But people will say that, I've been praying to God for this particular thing, but they don't know God. It's just a matter of, it's kind of sort of like it. It's been something that's been taught. We'll pray about it. And we wonder what true prayer is. And here we find it. Paul says that in everything, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. So there's a way of doing things. Does that mean pray only when you need something and give thanks to God? No, but what he's saying is to end this prayer, to do it with thanksgiving. It may be something that is going on in your life at this current time. And it may be something that you've been praying about, but sometimes we don't find it easy to give God thanks for it. We say, "I don't understand why this has happened," and be honest with you, I don't feel like giving thanks. But that's not what he says. He says to do it anyway. Just like we're to pray. We're to pray and talk to God. How can we expect to receive anything from God if we don't ask God for it? Well, some people say, "Well, you know, I'm a child of God. It's like we deserve it. He should do that." No, why should he do that? If we're not going to give thanks to God for it, why should God do that? Think with me just a moment. God is righteous, he's holy, he's true, he's just, and God loves mankind. God wants us to give him thanks for who he is. He wants us to praise him for his worth. If he's just going to do and lavish out things to us and we never give thanks to him for it, why should he do that? See, we learn through trusting God, asking God for something, and then if he doesn't give it, rather than say, "Well, he didn't answer my prayer," we may ought to think about it and give thanks to God for him not doing that for us. I've said before, and I don't mean it in a light way, I am so thankful God has not answered all the things I've prayed for. I really am. I don't even know if I would be here today if he had answered some of the things I'd asked him for. I may be somewhere else. I may be at a different church. I don't know. But we ask God for things, and I'm thankful that he didn't answer all the prayers. And sometimes we find that in speaking to God and talking with God and asking for things, it's not wrong to ask God for things. But we should do it with thanksgiving. So what am I saying? Is there a right prayer that has to be this way? No. God says in everything, he says, with prayer, supplication. So whatever it is. And by the way, is there anything too small for God? We're talking about children and teaching children how to pray. And a child says, you say maybe, Sunday school teacher does and says, do we have any prayer requests here? And used to they did that in schools, Mr. Buddy. And his kids sat up and say, yeah, I want to pray for my dog. It got hit by a car, got a broke leg. Oh, we don't pray. You don't say that, do you? You don't say, we don't pray for dogs. Did God create the dog? Yeah. Well, you ask the child for a prayer request. Now the child says, Lord, would you pray for my dog? Well, yeah, why not? God takes our requests as we present them to him. He doesn't say, only pray for this. Only do that. He says, pray. Is it wrong to ask God to heal your dog? I haven't found it in the scripture. Is it wrong for God to spare your goldfish over here that's kind of trying to belly up? No. So what are you saying? You learn through the small things. But as you grow in the Lord, you learn that some of those things are not as important as other things. The little goldfish is not a big deal when you're praying about something that gets bigger the older you get. The stronger you grow in your faith. And you know what I mean by that. So we don't say, don't do that. No, we don't. We teach you this is how you pray, and you see how God acts and see how God works, and it increases your faith. This is what he said. He said this to those in Philippi in verse number 6. He said, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious for anything in a sense of not getting it. Stay with me just a moment. Is it okay to be anxious for something? Yes, it is. By the way, thank you for asking. Turn back, if you would, to chapter 2, same book, Philippians chapter 2. Paul is speaking of Timothy, and he said this about Timothy in verse number 20. He said, for I have no man like-minded. Like-minded meaning he has no man he can send to them that's got the same mind for the Lord as Paul had. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That word care in verse 20 is the same word careful in verse 6 of chapter 4. He said, I have no man who is anxious. I have no man who worries for you. And he said what? He said, Timothy's like-minded. So what are we saying? Was Paul anxious about things? According to the scripture, he was. Was he worried about things? According to the scripture, he was. So we tell people, it's a sin to worry. Is it a sin? Depends on how you think. See, Paul was anxious. He was concerned. He was worried that what? That these people weren't growing in faith. There's a problem there. Two people, by the way, needed to get closer together. They were having a little problem in the church. Two people were at odds. Paul was concerned about it. He said, I'm going to send another man who's like-minded with me. We're concerned about the things of God, and we want these things to be dealt with and everything smoothed over and come out right. Are there people that you're concerned about? Folks, I'll tell you, there's people that I'm anxious of, and in a sense, I'm worried about their salvation. Are they saved? See, that's not the question that we need to answer when life is gone. We need to be concerned about those things right now. I'm wondering, when we come across someone's path that God has, and by the way, God directs our steps and our paths in a twine with other people, we wonder sometimes, wow, that's kind of strange. Why hadn't seen you in 20 years? You wonder, what did God have to do with that? How does that work out? You ever do that? Am I the only one? Later, I thought, wow, that's sort of interesting, isn't it? I ran into so-and-so today. You know, they were telling me about us and so, and then you get to thinking, wow. Was that a divine appointment or what? Folks, have you ever had a divine appointment? Don't raise your hand. You know that God put you there. You were there at the right time, right place. I mean, it's the divine appointment of God. I've heard of people walking out of the hospital and walking there at the door in a car pulling up, and they were able to open the door for someone that they knew who was being admitted to the hospital. Divine appointment? Sure it was. What's God saying? Thankful? Thankful for the time you've had? This is what we're saying. Give thanks to God. This guy that the Lord healed, the impotent man, he said, go and sin no more. I wonder how much he thought about that. Wow. After the fact, that was Jesus. He conveyed himself away, and then the man, and then he's able, he said that was Jesus was the one that did that. Of course, the guy that was there with Peter and John, he's immediately jumping and singing and praising God. And his testimony, by the way, has an effect on others. And now Paul says that we're to be careful for nothing. We're not to be worrying, but we're to do it in a way, but we're to give thanks to God. Thanking God for all things. Thank God for the bad things you say. You know that there are bad things that happen to good people, and sometimes we don't understand why. But sometimes it's through these things that we can't sometimes gather enough information. We'd like for God to say, this is why. He doesn't answer. Heaven's silent. We pray to God. We say, God, why am I going through this? Why does it seem like I've been serving you and I've been faithful to you, and now look at me? But God works in ways sometimes, in how he's working in a person's life and what he's doing. The end result is what's important, isn't it? It's the end result of what God is doing. As we said earlier, we're going to Zion. We're marching to Zion. And keep your eyes on that. These things of the world, should we be concerned about them? Yes, we should. But the ultimate goal is to keep our minds and heart set on these things that we know that God has given us in his word, the truths that we can bank on, the truths of God that we know are real, that this life, by the way, is temporal. As long as it is. I read the other week someone that was 122 years of age. What a long life. But others are not, doesn't say we're going to make it that long. And things come across our path, and sometimes we wonder, where is the Lord? I mean, I love the Lord. I've trusted the Lord. And yet, Lord, where are you in the midst of this? And he's with us. Sometimes we have to get further down the road before we can really give the thanks that Paul's speaking of. And then we understand what God has done for us. And that's what I'd like for us to think about today as well. How God does work in circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians, just a couple of books away from Philippians. And then you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. In verse 18, Paul again writing, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to give thanks to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm just saying, think with me just a moment. Look at the devastation that many suffered because of the hurricane. There are people without homes in Florida. There are people without homes in North Carolina. How can you be thankful for that? But we can be thankful. There's some that, as far as I know, they haven't even found the bodies of some. How can you give thanks for that? There are people who were saved. It rains on the just and the unjust. The scripture says that. That lost their homes. And we know, you and I know, that none of us are exempt from that. If a storm were to come through and hit our part of the woods as it did up there. None of us are exempt from it. How do we give thanks to God for that? We learn to give thanks. See, life is a process of learning. And we learn that in difficulties, we can't see him. That's where faith comes in. We can't see how this is going to be for good. But trust me, I'm trusting the Lord that people have come to know him because of these storms. See, people watch the believers to see how you respond when the storms of life come to your door and my door. And I know that there are those here today that have had some storms come across your path. There's been things that have sort of swept you off your feet of faith. And it took a minute to say, wait a minute, I feel something solid. There's something under me. What is it? It's the rock. You felt like you had nowhere to stand, but you can stand on his word. And you get alone with God, and you open His Word, and you start reading it, and then the Lord begins to speak, and the Lord begins to show you that it's not the end. Thank God it's not the end, folks. There's a better day coming for the believer. And while we may be knocked out sometimes, we're not knocked out. While the devil wants to shake our faith and ridicule us and mock us and have you thinking God's not hearing your prayer, He hears your prayer. And God answers prayer. He's faithful. And this is what He said in verse 18. He said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." The psalmist, I'm going to read Psalm 55 in verse 22. David, the psalmist, gave us this word. David had, as you understand, think about David in his life. David had been hounded because he was a man after God's own heart. Saul had tried to destroy David. David had enemies all around. And David said these words, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer thee, suffer the righteous to be moved." In other words, when we get to that place to where we don't know how to pray, we don't know how to give thanks, cast our care upon Him. Cast our worries, David said, our burden. And then Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5 and 8. He said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." There's our word again. Cast all of your worry, your anxiety, your anxiousness upon Him, because He's anxiously cared for you. God knows where you are today. God knows every thought that you have afar off. God knows what you and I need today. And folks, you know, none of us know what tomorrow may bring. As I think about Thanksgiving and the things that have transpired in the last year, I'm sure you go through those things in your mind as well. Where were you last year? What were you doing, and where are you today? Has anything changed? There's a lot that has changed for a lot of people that are here this morning. Some family members are gone. Some this Thanksgiving, thinking about Miss Sue, I'm thinking about some others here, church members, family members. This Thanksgiving, the seat's empty. They've gone to be with the Lord. Our heart breaks for that. But there's thanksgiving in knowing, or giving of thanks, of knowing you'll see them again. And when you think about the things of God, this is what makes it worthwhile. We choose to thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that there's a better day. Thank you that this life is as short as it is. Thank you, Lord, for caring for me, caring for my family, for providing for us as a church family. Thank you, Lord, that your word never changes. And He'll see us through this next year just like He's seen us through the previous years. He never changes. And we can thank the Lord for that. Let's stand together today. Give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. I'm going to close this in prayer in just a moment. I invite you to take your hymnal this morning. I want to look back at, we sang this song earlier, but let's turn back to 109 just a moment. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. See, it never changes. pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Let's sing that last verse today in closing.